Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
So there was a great commendation, but now the condemnation. And it comes as a terrible shock to us, doesn't it? Verse 20. But I have this against you. Because this church, although it had much to commend it, this church tolerated sin.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. Today, followers of Christ are under increasing pressure to tolerate sin. At work, in our schools, and sometimes even at home, we're encouraged to abandon the truth of God's Word. But tolerance should never triumph over truth. Today on The Verdict, we're continuing our study in the book of Revelation as we look closer at the dangers of tolerance. Now, let's join Pastor John Monroe.
Are you a tolerant person? There is a sense in which we should be tolerant and show grace to others. But as followers of Jesus, we will learn today that tolerance must never triumph over truth. Thanks for listening as we continue our study in the book of Revelation. Today, we're looking at the letter to the church of Thyatira described in Revelation chapter 2. Last time, we thought of the commendation of the church in Thyatira. But today, we think of the condemnation. Serious sin had entered the church at Thyatira. This was not some minor matter, but blasphemy, false doctrine, sexual immorality. How should we respond? Our culture says, I'm okay, you're okay, don't judge. But remember, tolerance must never triumph over truth. So we're going to read Revelation 2, verses 18 through 29, and learn about the tolerant church. Verse 18, and to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, the words of the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your works, your love and faith and service and patient endurance, and that your latter works exceed the first. But I have this against you, that you tolerate, there's her word, you tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her sexual immorality. Behold, I will throw her onto a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her I will throw into great tribulation unless they repent of her works. And I will strike her children dead. And all the churches will know that I am he who searches mind and heart, and I will give to each of you as your works deserve. But to the rest of you in Thyatira who do not hold this teaching, who have not learned what some call the deep things of Satan, to you I say, I don't lay on you any other burden. Only hold fast what you have until I come. The one who conquers and who keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. And he will rule them with a rod of iron, as when earthen pots are broken in pieces, even as I myself have received authority from my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Isn't that an amazing letter written to a church in the first century? And now the commendation. The commendation. Notice this church got many things right, verse 19. Your love and faith and service and patient endurance. What a commendation. Highly commendable in a difficult pagan culture as Thyatira. So Thyatira, in this regard, appears to have been a strong church with many authentic followers of Jesus. But there's another commendation in verse 19. At the end of verse 19, and that your latter works exceed the first. I like that. They were not living in the past. Their dreams were greater than their memories. You see, it's one thing to begin well. It's another thing to continue to make progress. There's many a church which has begun well, but then has begun to fade, and the love and the fervency and the commitment to the Word of God have faded. The spiritual progress and maturity are lacking in many of our churches. Great emphasis is placed in the contemporary church on an exciting event. And irrespective of what you think of that, whether that's good or bad, I have my own thoughts, but what does that lead to? The question isn't what I experience for an hour or two on Sunday. Maybe a good question is, what does that kind of church produce? What kind of families does it raise? What kind of Christians are coming out of that? In other words, are we progressing? Are we growing? True Christianity is one of growth. It's putting down its roots. We are to be growing as followers of Christ, becoming stronger, learning, enduring, authentic followers of Christ, grow in their faith so that we're growing in community, not as isolated individuals, but realizing we need one another. So Peter writes, the end of 2 Peter, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul commends the Thessalonians, he says, because your faith is growing abundantly, and the love of every one of you for another is increasing. So here they love one another, but their love for one another is growing, is increasing. Their faith is getting stronger. So there was a great commendation, but now the condemnation. And it comes as a terrible shock to us, doesn't it? Verse 20. But I have this against you. Because this church, although it had much to commend it, this church tolerated sin. And as I read it, it made very sad reading, didn't it? After such a glowing commendation, here is the strongest of condemnations. The church at Thyatira was tolerating gross sin. Members of the trade guilds were pressured into pagan feasts and immoral conduct, and that was outside in the pagan society. But now into the church had come this sin, had come this false doctrine, and it was being tolerated. You know, being a follower of Jesus, as I say, is difficult. And there are times when we must, as a church, as a family, as a couple, and as an individual, there are times when we must take a stand. There's pressure on us to tolerate sin. Any pressure on you to tolerate sin at your work? Do you just turn a blind eye to something? Perhaps an unethical business practice? Perhaps some sin among your colleagues and you just go along with it? What about in your own heart? What about in your own life? What about at school? You say, well, John, the colleges today are terrible. What can we do about it? As a follower of Jesus, you have to take a stand for Christ. You remember the old hymn, stand up for Jesus? It seems that not many of us are standing up for Jesus. We're just going along and we complain of the society. And you know, it's amusing, isn't it? This political process, they talk about all of the evangelicals. Now, saying to goodness, if we had these millions and millions of evangelicals, why is our society in such a mess? Is it just people claim to be a Christian? Why is there not such a change in our society? If all of these people are true followers of Christ, what's happened? We've tolerated sin. We've not taken a stand for Christ. And even though the Lord Jesus gave time for repentance here, verse 21, she refuses to repent of her sexual immorality. So the sin had come to light. There had been biblical confrontation. Time was given for repentance. But tragically, the sin in the church continued. Thank God for those in your life who come to you and confront you with sin. Men, if you've got a godly wife who confronts you with sin, don't get defensive. I realize that's the first response. The second response is to attack her and point out her deficiencies. Don't do that. Be thankful that you've got a wife of integrity who can speak truth to you. If you've got a friend who confronts you based on Scripture with sin, Be thankful. Be thankful that we are part of a church that will not compromise on the word of God. It may not mean that listening to such preaching is always easy, but it is essential if we're going to be true to the word of God. My dad, I'm sure it wasn't original with him, but he used to say on more than one occasion, here is a pound of butter, here is a pound of clay. Put it out in the sunshine, which was difficult in Scotland, but occasionally the sun did shine. And the same sun that melts the butter hardens the clay. The same light, the same heat, but two different reactions. That happens here. The truth hardened the clay. See, when you're confronted with truth, you can either humbly accept it and repent of it and change, or your heart can become hardened. You can become defensive. And the problem with that is, the more you refuse the truth, the harder and harder your heart will become. That's why it's important that every day we're in the Word of God. That's why we should be thankful for godly husbands, wives, pastors, friends, ALG teachers, people in our life who speak truth to us. Now, in the church, there was this woman, a Jezebel type, probably not her real name, but we know who Jezebel was. She called herself a prophetess. And she was teaching, can you believe this? Teaching and promoting sexual immorality and eating food sacrificed to idols, verse 20. Who was Jezebel? In the Old Testament, she was an evil queen of Israel. She was married to a very weak man called Ahab. She tried to kill God's prophet Elijah. Sadly, Elijah ran from this woman, so she was obviously a tough nut. And she led the children of Israel into idolatry and immorality. You can read about it in 1 Kings. And so here's this type of woman, a brazen, hard, evil, scheming woman, a Jezebel type, claiming to be a prophetess. Oh, God told me this. Bad enough to do the sin, but now trying to lead others into it by claiming divine revelation. And she taught her evil doctrine and led some of the believers into gross sin. The judgment of God on her and all those who follow her, so-called her children, is very, very solemn. You know, we have people today who claim extra-biblical revelations. We are very, very strong at church that our only authority, our supreme authority, our only authority is God's word. I have people who come to me and say, God told me such and such. I say, really? God told me to tell you such and such. And this woman, in her so-called revelations, if they were supernatural, they were not coming from God, they were coming from the enemy. This was a doctrine of demons. She comes, and the believers at Thyatira, instead of standing against her, were tolerating her sin. There were those who didn't agree with it, but there wasn't the strong stand. They had neglected the clear apostolic teaching, and some people were being seduced by her false doctrine. Some called her teaching the deep things of Satan. Just as the Jezebel in the Old Testament was involved in witchcraft and sorcery, so this woman was teaching the doctrine of demons. Yes, in the church. There's always those who are attracted to secrets and mysteries and deeper truth. Well, the Bible isn't enough. I heard this. Here's a secret code. Don't listen to such things. All you need is in this book. And if it is contrary to this book, I don't care. Remember Paul's admonition in Galatians? Even if an angel from heaven comes, let him be anathema, because there's only one truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's no secrets in the Christian faith. Many secrets in Mormonism, many secrets in the cults, no secrets in the Christian faith. All of the word of God is given to us in this book, his precious word. Tolerance must never triumph over truth. Now, sin, to say the obvious, can't be tolerated. Look at verse 22. Behold, I will throw her onto a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her I will throw into great tribulation, unless they repent of her works, and I will strike her children, meaning her followers, dead, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches mind and heart, and I will give to each of you as your works deserve. Notice the judgment of God is coming. Does God judge sin? Yes, he does. Remember the early church, Ananias and Sapphira, Acts chapter 5? They lied, God acted. 1 Corinthians 11, Paul says, there are some of you who are sick. Some have died because you were eating unworthily at the Lord's Supper. God is not mocked. He's slow to judge, but judgment comes. What we sow, we reap. Praise God that there were those in Thyatira who didn't hold to this teaching, verse 24. But to the rest of you in Thyatira who do not hold this teaching, who have not learned what some call the deep things of Satan, to you I say, do not lay on you any other burden. What are they to do, verse 25? They are to hold fast what you have until I come. They were wrong in tolerating the sin, but the Lord isn't laying on them any other burden. Immorality, idolatry are clearly sins, but you know, the commandments of God are not burdensome. Do you really want to go against the word of God? Proverbs says the way of the transgressor is hard. What does Jesus promise when he comes, when we come to him? Those who are weary, those who are heavy laden, come to me and I'll give you what? Rest, rest, rest for your soul. Peace. Doesn't mean to say it's easy. Doesn't mean to say there's opposition. Yes, there is opposition. Isn't that wonderful? You can go to bed, you put your head down on the pillow, and your conscience is clear. That means a lot, isn't it? That in the toughest of situations, you know that the hand of the Lord is on you. He gives us his joy. He gives us his peace. He gives us his wisdom. He gives us our strength. And we must not place on other people restrictions and regulations which are not found in the Word of God. Some churches have the dirty dozen list. I was asked to candidate at a church, and I asked to see their constitution. I'm there, and I read their constitution, and it has the dirty dozen list on it. One of them was you couldn't go to the theater. And I said to him, but we just taken our son to the theater to see A Christmas Carol. Oh, what is this? Oh, this is worldliness. Really? So on the way back, we were stuck at an airport somewhere, so I redrafted their constitution and sent it to them, and that was the last I heard from them. Putting burdens on the people of God that are not in Scripture. The Word of God is our only sure and certain authority and guide. It was the Pharisees who laid extra burdens on the people. Now, as we conclude, notice in verse 26, the glorious promise. To the one who conquers and who keeps my words until the end, to him I'll give authority over the nations, and so on. Authority over the nations. When Jesus returns and establishes his messianic kingdom, he's going to rule with a rod of iron. All sin, unlike in the church at Thyatira, all sin will be immediately judged. But think of this. We who are authentic followers of Jesus will rule with him for that glorious reign of 1,000 years. And throughout the earth there'll be perfect peace and justice and no election debates. Wouldn't that be nice? This ruler, what he says, you can absolutely depend on. And we will receive, verse 28, the morning star. What's the morning star? Revelation 22, verse 16, Jesus is the bright and morning star. Not only during the millennial kingdom, but for all of eternity, we shall be with Jesus and we shall be like him in his glory. Now, this is a very challenging passage, a difficult passage to hear, to preach. What are we to do? We're to hold fast, verse 25. And as I conclude, I have to ask you, as I've been asking myself this week, what have you tolerated? What are you tolerating that you shouldn't tolerate? What am I tolerating in my life that I shouldn't? Can you ask yourself that question? Tolerance must never triumph over truth. Now, don't look at other people. Ask the Spirit of God. Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and see if there be any wickedness in me. That's David, that's King David, a man after God's own heart. Are you praying that? That's a great prayer. The sin so easily comes into our minds. And because everyone else is doing it in our society, that is no excuse at all. We thought during the missions week from Isaiah 6 that God is holy, and it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Our enemy tempts us to be unholy. The Jezebel types are still here in the 21st century. They are in abundance. And our enemy, one of the main ways he tempts us is to unholy living. Is the Holy Spirit convicting you of some darkness in your heart, some secret sin which you're hiding? Will you just repent? Will you make that right with God? John says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In the wonder of the gospel, our sinless Savior comes and he takes all of our sin, all of our unholiness, all of our filth and wickedness on himself. Takes it away. And as we cry out to him for salvation, he comes, he forgives us, he wipes us completely clean and says, your sins and your iniquities I will remember no more. What's your response? Once again, we're confronted with light and darkness. We're confronted with Christ or Satan. We're confronted with the kingdom of God or the kingdom of darkness. With sin or holiness, what will it be? I'm saying to you, in the authority of Scripture, don't tolerate error. Don't tolerate darkness. Don't tolerate any sin in your own life. Confess it. Flee from it. And God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, will give you all the help you need to live a holy life. Tolerance must never triumph over truth. Father, we think of this letter written 2,000 years ago, and it comes to us, it jars us, it shakes us. But we thank you for its clarity and pray that your Spirit, that refiner's fire, will come and cleanse us. In Christ's name, amen.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and a message titled, The Tolerant Church. And to go along with our current study in the book of Revelation, we'd like to offer you a free copy of the listening guide John has put together especially for this series. It's designed to walk you through each lesson in the coming weeks as we explore the first three chapters of Revelation. This printable guide will equip you with key notes, questions, and specific prompts to help you better understand this fascinating and important book in the Bible. So download or request a mailed copy of the Revelation Listening Guide today when you visit theverdict.org. And while you're there, make sure you've signed up for John's email newsletter, where he shares exciting updates and sneak peeks at everything coming up here at The Verdict. Just click the Sign Up tab on our website. Again, that's theverdict.org. And if you value the gospel work of this ministry, we invite you to be a part of our radio outreach and help us share these biblical teachings with new listeners this year by giving a financial gift. Your generous contributions help cover the cost of delivering the truth of God's word through the radio to your neighbors, your community, and to new listeners all around the world. To partner with us today, just go to theverdict.org. Or if you prefer to mail your financial gift, just address your envelope to The Verdict, care of Calvary Church, 5801 Pineville Matthews Road, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28226. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe with today's closing remarks.
Well, what's your verdict? As flawed human beings, we certainly should be tolerant of other people's foibles and flaws. But we must not be tolerant of sin, certainly not in our own lives, and certainly not in the life of the church. It's so easy to take the path of least resistance and ignore false doctrine and unholy living. But learn the lesson of Thyatira. Tolerance must never triumph over truth. Don't forget to tune in next time as we look at the letter to the church in Sardis. a church which was spiritually dying.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.